Let us turn again to the Word of God, to the portion that we have already read in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. And let us consider, as the Lord would enable us this evening, the words in the 13th verse. Chapter 1, verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and at verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Here we have, in this part of the Word of God, as the first verse of this chapter tells us, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Songs, generally speaking, tend to speak of emotions, of feelings of one person for another. And here we have the Song of Songs, because here we have the best of feelings, the best of emotions. This is a love song between the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His people. That glorious bond of love that unites the Lord and Savior with the church invisible, with those who truly love Him, those whom He has called to be His own, those of whom we were speaking of this morning, who are chosen. It is the Song of Songs which is Solomon's. Solomon means peaceable, for this speaks of the one who is the King of Kings and is also the King of Peace, the one who came to bring peace, to bring through that work of salvation peace between God and man, peace between the Lord and those whom He draws to Himself. No longer that enmity on the part of man to God, but for those whom He calls, those whom He loves, bringing that peace that passeth all understanding. And in this part of God's Word, in this book, we have a series of addresses then between the Lord and Savior and His people, represented in this love song, expressing that glorious, that wonderful love between the Lord and His people, which is why the Lord's people find this particular part of God's Word such a benefit, such a blessing, such an encouragement. And in this verse we have the church invisible, the Lord's people, describing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a bundle of myrrh. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. When these words were first written by Solomon, this would be a familiar figure to those to whom he was writing. They would be familiar with the myrrh, with what it looked like, with the various properties of it, the various uses of it, and so on. It would be something that was a day-to-day familiar figure to them. At this distance in time and in space, we are not so familiar with it ourselves. We don't automatically picture a bundle of myrrh when we read these words. We don't always know exactly what to look at. But yet, in here we have a beautiful picture of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as He is described as a bundle of myrrh. Often in the Scriptures we have such descriptions. If you look in Cruden's Concordance, I think there are something like over a hundred titles and descriptions given to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And a study of these is well worthwhile. And here we have one of them that we're going to look at this evening as the bundle of myrrh. First of all, let us see why it is that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is described as a bundle of myrrh. Then secondly, let us look to see what our relationship must be. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. Solomon could say that. The Lord's people can say that. How we need to ask ourselves this evening, can you say that? And then lastly, the blessings that flow from having such a relationship. If this bundle of myrrh is your well-beloved to you, he shall lie all night betwixt your breasts. Why then is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ described as a bundle of myrrh? When we read a bundle, it doesn't speak of like a bundle of sticks tied together. What the word means is a bag or a parcel, a package of myrrh that is wrapped up. Myrrh, that is the gum from a myrrh tree. We are told it was a reddish, brown, yellow sort of colour. Something that was precious, valuable, something that was used for perfume, had a delightful smell, and so on. And it would be wrapped in a package to be used as a present, or to be used in other ways. How does this then apply to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? The myrrh is precious, is valuable. We read of this as one of the gifts when the wise men came to the Saviour. Not long after his birth, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. It was something that was valuable. Something that was often used to give as presents. And this speaks of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as the one who is precious. One who is valuable. In 1 Peter chapter 2 we read, to them that believe, he is precious. To those who love the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they know what this means. He is precious to them. When we think of what he has done for his people, when we think of the price that he has paid to purchase his people, as we were mentioning this morning, what it cost the Father to give the Son. The Father giving the Son to suffer. The Father, knowing that separation that would be involved on the cross when the Saviour uttered those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What it cost the Father to give the Son. What it cost the Son to suffer, to bear upon himself the sin of all who believe upon him. What it cost him to be cut off from the Father in his true human nature. What it cost him in his physical sufferings and his spiritual sufferings. His experiences at that time. And yet, he willingly, unhesitatingly paid the price to provide salvation. None other could have paid that price. None other could have satisfied the wrath of God due to us for our sin. He alone was able to. And he alone did it. And did it fully, totally, without any lack. So that he could say from the cross, it is finished. The price is paid. Oh, how precious this one is. Things are precious, things are valuable. Sometimes because of the cost of procuring them. Christ is precious because of the cost of procuring him. Sometimes things are valuable because they are very rare. There are very few of them, and so the value goes up. This one is unique. There is no one else who is able to save from sin. There is no one else that is able to represent us at the throne of God effectively. This one is unique. Oh, how precious is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he precious to you tonight? Do you delight to hear about him? Do you delight to meditate upon him? Do you delight to remember what he has done for you? The price that he has paid? Grieving that it was necessary, but yet delighting that it was done. Secondly, myrrh is something that is pleasant, beautiful, giving off a delightful smell. It gives pleasure. That which it touches, it makes delightful. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is one who is in himself, one who is beautiful. The world doesn't see that. The world, as Isaiah told us, sees no beauty that they should desire him. But to them who love him, he is the altogether lovely one. The one who is the fairest among 10,000. Oh, the beauty of Christ. The beauty of his purity. The beauty of his appearance. The beauty of his glory, of his majesty. The beauty of his being in every way. He is the one who is delightful to know. Oh, the delight to be in his presence. The delight to know his presence, to have communion with him. He is the one that satisfies our deepest desires. Our desires for truth. He is one in whom we can trust. Our desires for forgiveness. Our desires for reconciliation. Our desires for companionship. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Though all others may leave us and forsake us, he will never leave or forsake his people. Oh, he is the delightful one. Do you delight in Christ Jesus? Is he the one in whom you delight? Is he the one in whom you rejoice? Then we are told that myrrh is used to purify. It was used for the washing of clothes, for instance, and the embalming of dead bodies. Again, how this speaks of the Savior, the one who cleanses, who purifies, who removes the disease of sin, who cleanses away the filth and the mire of sin, all these stubborn stains that nothing else can shift. He is the one that will shift all of these stains, so that he will be able to present his people faultless before the throne of majesty in the last day, in the day of judgment. He is the one who cleanses perfectly. He is the one who removes all that filth, the mire, the guilt, the punishment, the condemnation of sin, so that there is no more condemnation, we read in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He is the one who removes, who purifies, who cleanses. Are you trying to cleanse yourself? Are you trying to remove the stains, the mire of sin yourself? Or are you looking to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We cannot remove the stain of sin ourselves. The more we try, the worse we make it. The picture has been used by others of someone walking down a muddy street. And the street lights are quite a way apart. And as they are walking down the muddy street, the mud splashing all over their clothes. When they are a long way from the street light, they can't see. It doesn't concern them. But as they begin to get towards the street light, they look down, they see all the mud on their clothes. They try to wipe it off and just spread it further. And the nearer they get to the light, the more they see of this mud and the filth on their clothes, and the more they try to clean it, and the worse they make it. What a picture we have there. The nearer we get to the light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more we see of our sinfulness. The more we try to cleanse it ourselves, the more of a mess we make. He alone can cleanse from sin. He alone can remove the filth and the mire of sin. Another use of myrrh was for preserving things. It prevented decay and disease. When it was used with something, it would extend its life. And so the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserves his people. He is the one who keeps his people in this sinful world, so that the power of sin no longer has any power over his people. We still have indwelling sin, but the guilt of sin is taken away. It no longer has any power over us. There is no longer that condemnation. Satan tries to drag his people down. How often he has a measure of success as he takes our eyes away from the Savior, as he takes our eyes away from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We forget who he is and what he has done for us. We fall for the temptations of Satan too often. But he, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we remember him, he is the one who keeps us and who will keep us, who has promised to keep his people to the end, kept by the power of God. Another use of myrrh was to make things pleasant. It makes what it touches pleasant. It was used as a perfume, so that that which it touched had a pleasant smell. And the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes his people pleasant. What are we by nature? Sinners, deceivers, full of falsehood, full of lies, full of deceit, full of ourselves, full of pride, full of envy, arrogant, selfish. He is the one who, by his grace, turns his people, not all at once, but turns his people through the gradual work of sanctification, to be humble, to be selfless, to think of others, to delight, to help and to serve others, to look for the needs of others, to be attractive to others in the world, and especially to those who are the Lord's people. He makes his people to be a delight to those who are his people. He makes his people pleasant. But there is a characteristic of the myrrh that we need to draw attention to. It has a bitter taste. The taste of this myrrh is not sweet, not delightful in itself. And that reminds us of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who endured such bitterness for his people. He endured the wrath of God for his people. Such bitterness, willingly, obediently he endured for us. When they come to collect the myrrh, the gum from the myrrh tree, sometimes it comes spontaneously from the tree. But generally speaking, the tree has to be cut, a bit like a rubber tree. The bark of the tree has to be cut so that the myrrh, the gum of the myrrh, will seep out and can be collected, similar to rubber trees. Surely this reminds us of the benefits of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when the Saviour was pierced on the cross of Calvary, when the nails pierced his hands and his feet, when the sword pierced his side, when the blood flowed forth. The blood poured forth so that the blessings of the gospel that we've been speaking of, that purification, preservation, making pleasant, making delightful, would flow forth from the gospel. It was as the Savior was pierced, as the Savior was cut, that these blessings flow forth. The bundle of myrrh, the bundle speaks of a bag, a parcel. Surely that speaks of abundance, the fullness of the blessing that is to be found in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. This is no small portion that he provides, but he provides abundantly. He knows our need. He knows everything that we need, and he provides abundantly for us. There is no short measure with Christ. There is no lacking with Christ. There is the fullness of blessing to be found in him. But this bundle needs to be opened for the benefits to occur. If the bundle is kept tied up, of what value is it? We were speaking this morning about the treasure, about the present. If someone gives us a present and we leave it wrapped up, it's not going to be much use to us. And the bundle of myrrh is not of much use until it is poured forth. If we look back to verse 3 of this chapter, because of the Saviour of thy good ointments, myrrh is an ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. The bag of myrrh, the bundle of myrrh needs to be opened so that the benefits will flow forth. We have these revealed to us in the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. But the Scriptures need to be opened and applied to ourselves if they are to be of any value. The bag of myrrh needs to be opened and applied to us if it is to be of any value. If it was to purify, it needed to be applied to the clothes or whatever. If it was to be preserved, it needed to be applied to what it was to preserve. If it was to give a pleasant smell, it needed to be applied. However much you may have known how useful it was to have that bundle of myrrh, if it was stuck on a shelf, wrapped up, it was of no use whatsoever. This bundle of myrrh must be my well-beloved unto me. How many there are that are like those who would have this bag on the shelf and just leave it there. Oh, someday I might find it useful. Someday I might open it and apply it. But not just yet. I don't really need it just now. Leaving it, as it were, sitting on a shelf. No use where it was. How many have the knowledge of the blessings of the Lord? Having heard the word of God week in, week out, perhaps for many years, you have heard the gospel time and time again. What are you doing with it? Are you leaving it wrapped up on the shelf, as it were, in your own heart? Or are you taking it down from the shelf, unwrapping the bundle, applying it to your heart, to your soul, applying it to yourself, seeking the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for yourself? This bundle of myrrh, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, had to be His well-beloved to Him for it to be of any benefit. There needed to be that personal relationship. Knowing about something isn't enough. There needs to be that personal relationship. Without that, there can be no blessings. He must be my well-beloved for the blessings to be unto me. We must have that love to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must have that delight in Him. We must be able to say, as Solomon writes at the end of the 5th chapter, His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Do you have that relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ yourself tonight? How important is that question? Is He your well-beloved? Is He to you the altogether lovely one? Is He the one whom you long to know more about? Is He the one in whom you long to delight? Is He the one whom you long to be with? To be with Christ, which is far better. Is He your desire? Or are you as those we have spoken of already that Isaiah referred to? There is no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. Do you see nothing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to attract you? Do you see nothing there that would draw you to Him? Is He one that, as far as you could say, could take it or leave it? There is nothing attractive there. If not, then it is like having this bag of myrrh unopened. The bag is sealed shut. There is no purification. There is no preservation. There is no attractiveness, no being made attractive by it. There is no cleansing. There is no appreciation of the value of it. It is as though it is nothing, just sitting there, worthless. Might as well throw it away. And yet this is the most precious, the most precious of gifts, the most wonderful of treasures that you could have. And are you leaving it on the shelf as a bag unopened? But if you can say that He is my well-beloved unto me this night, then the blessings that flow from that truly belong to you. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts, that is, in the heart. He is the one who satisfies the heart, who is the heart's delight. He is the one who promises to be with His people, who is with His people, who never leaves, who never forsakes His people. He is the one who fully satisfies. But He says it is all night. He doesn't speak of this as during the daytime, but all night. What does this mean? Times of darkness. times of difficulty, times of trial, times of affliction, times of darkness, we may not be able to see, but He is there. We may not be conscious, we may not appreciate the presence of His Spirit, the presence of Him in our hearts. We may lose a sense of His presence, but He is there. He is blessing. He is upholding His people. He is bearing His people up. And in the times of difficulty, and in the times of trial, when the way gets so difficult, instead of taking us by the hand and leading us by His side, He takes us up in His arms, and He carries us. Oh, what love there is there. What delight there is there. Even though at times we may not appreciate it, we may not be sensible of it, yet it is true all the same. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. There the blessings of His present, in times of darkness, as well as in times of light, in times of sadness and in sorrow, as well as in times of joy, in times of trial and affliction, as well as in times of peace. He is there, blessing His people, pouring out His benefits, the abundance of His benefits for His people. He is there, blessing with His presence, with His strength, with His guidance, keeping His people, purifying His people, sanctifying His people, forgiving us our sins, our shortcomings, our indwelling sin, and what sin there is in the child of God to be cleansed. So much that we do that we ought not to have done. So much we fail to do that we ought to have done. Our heart, our thoughts, our words not right with God. And this sin in those who are the children of God, sinning despite knowing the love of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, despite knowing the cost to Him of our sin, despite knowing how we should live, the revelation in the Scriptures as to how we should live, despite all these things, that sin in the heart of the child of God, surely the sin of those who believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the most heinous of sins. Those who are strangers to Him cannot appreciate what they are doing by their sin. But those whom He has loved, yet when we sin against Him, how heinous is that sin. And yet He is the one who is ever present in the hearts of His people, forgiving, cleansing, comforting, making His people to be pleasant, working His works of grace, working His works of glory in the lives of His unworthy people. There is satisfaction to be found in Christ, peace of conscience. There is therefore no condemnation. Peace with God. There is perfect reconciliation. Peace of mind. Because He is in control. He is working His purposes out. He is bearing us up in His arms. And in Him there is perfect safety. Oh, what peace. What a full, what a perfect peace is to be found in Christ. Do you see for yourself the preciousness, the usefulness of Christ, the delight that is to be found in Him, the one who purifies, the one who preserves, the one who makes pleasant? Is He your well-beloved this evening? Let us examine our hearts, each one of us this evening. Is he my well-beloved unto me? Ask yourself that question. If he is, then what blessings belong to you? The blessings of the presence of Christ Jesus, especially in times of darkness, times of trial, times when he is most needed. If not, no blessing, no purifying, without God and without hope in the world. What a desperate position to be in the quicksands, with the end eternal, horrifying death. Here in the Word of God, here in the invitation of the Gospel, we have this bundle of myrrh offered to us fully and freely, without money, without price. Oh, that we would open this bag, that we would see this treasure, that we would look to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would be enabled to say of ourselves, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. May the Lord grant it for us in his mercy.